Chapter 6. As the Hawk Flies, As the Squirrel Travels. The friends Jed missed so much had set off many hours ago. They were swift runners, and while the buzz paths dipped and rose, the direction they traveled was straight and true. Over the years, the branches of nearby trees had grown close to the buzz paths. They interlaced and intertwined. In some places, they rested right on top of one another. When this happened, Giants had to take a few steps off a path until it was clear again. No problem. It was a good thing, actually. It kept things interesting. Kept them alert. On they ran, stepping off the paths when they had to, but always moving forward. Now and again, whoever had been behind for a while would spring around and get in front. This looked like a game, and it was, but it was also a way of taking turns, being the squirrel who would bear the brunt of the wind. That takes more energy, and it's only fair to take turns. It's why geese fly in V's. It's why bicycle riders ride in lines. It's called drafting. While they were running and stepping off and drafting, Chai had the idea that he would go around for his turn in front, but that he would go around in a wider circle so that Tss wouldn't see him. Then she would be totally surprised when he appeared on the path in front of her. And she was. The look on her face made Chai bust out laughing. Tss laughed too, and then she said to herself, "Two squirrels can play that game." She waited a little while, just followed behind, bided her time, made comments about the scenery, watched for the right branch. When she saw it, she scampered, not to one side or the other, but straight up. She smiled as she passed directly over Chai. She stifled a snort of laughter as she saw him glance both ways to see if she was coming around. With as much stealth and speed as she could muster, she bolted far forward and scrambled back down. She sat on a branch just over the path and worked to slow her breathing to its normal rate. She pretended to be examining her paw. "Oh, there you are," she said when Chai appeared. "Did you stop for a nap or what?" Chai pulled up short at the sound of her voice. He looked at her, his brow furrowed, his mouth open, but only for a second. "Okay, then," he said. And in a blur of fur, he shot past her. She grinned and flew off after him. It was a race now. Squirrel nature took over. Above and below, right and left, on the path, then off. They laughed with joy as they sailed from one slim, shapely branch to a perfect bounce, landing onto the tip of another really great branch, which often led to another really great branch, which led, of course, to another really, really great branch. Sometimes Chai was ahead, sometimes tss. It really didn't matter, except that it did. It mattered just enough for both of them to run as fast as they could and as far as they could. Neither one noticed that at some point, and it was pretty early on, they stepped off the buzz paths completely and didn't step back on. They ran in some new direction, a bunch of new directions. They weren't thinking about direction at all. They were free running. They ran and ran until an especially demanding leap took the breath right out of them. They slowed, huffing and puffing, to a stop. "Best race ever," said Tss, gasping for air. "I think you won, though." "No, you won," said Chai, leaning against a mighty trunk, "but only because I let you." "Like fun," said Tss. "My shin splints are the only reason you could even keep up." "Yeah, right," said Chai, "if that makes you feel better." At that moment, a nut fell from above, right into his paws. They looked at each other and laughed. "Lunch," said Tss. Chai squinted up at the sun. "It might be closer to dinner," he said. He turned around to try to figure out where they were, and then he realized where they weren't. "Tss," he began tentatively, but Tss had realized it too. "What kind of fools are we?" she said. "What kind of friends?" They climbed to the treetop to see what they could see. What they saw was more treetops, treetops that glowed green and gold and persimmon in the late afternoon sunlight. They rippled in every direction, a sunlit, bumpy surface, beautiful but confusing because everything looked the same.
"Stupid, stupid, bone-crunching stupid," said Chai.
"Will you stop it?" said Tsts.
"Okay, we were stupid, but what do we do now?"
"Right," said Chai.
"Okay. Oh, wait. Look, look over there."
He pointed, and Tsts looked. In the distance, she could barely make out the top of the silver egg, the great beak, the line of frozen spider webs. They were tinier than usual and arranged differently. And it took a minute or two for Chai and Tsts to figure out that this was because they had traveled sideways and backward and slantwise, and they had ended up in who knows where.
"Nuts," said Tsts. "I can't believe we ran that far. It didn't seem like we were racing for that long."
"I can't believe we have to run back," said Chai.
"What were we thinking?" said Tsts.
"Yeah," said Chai. "Let's go then." Doggedly, they made their way. Over and over, they had to climb up high and check their bearings. When they wearily stepped back onto a buzz path, dusk was falling. It was all they could do to set one paw in front of another. Still, they plodded on. The cooling darkness seemed to thicken around them, slowing them down. Their tired muscles told them it was time to stop, find a nest, curl up, go to sleep. But they went on. There were no games now, no chatter, just moving and moving and just barely, still moving. And when they had almost forgotten what they were looking for, there it was. The third, they hoped, frozen spiderweb. Big, stiff, cold. You would not want to meet the spider who made that web. Tsts and Chai scrambled swiftly down the rigid framework. Nearing the bottom, they paused on one of the web's thick crosswise strands. They looked into the spicy-smelling darkness around them and listened to sounds that might be perfectly normal. But then again, they might not. Tsts shivered. Who knew what was out there?
"Let's just build it here," she said.
"Where?" asked Chai.
"Here, in the web. Look, there's a crotch."
She pointed to a corner made by several strands coming together. Chai looked at it, then down toward the ground.
"Okay," he said. "I guess we're high up enough."
They set to work, willing themselves to make trip after trip to the bottom and back, foraging in the brush for just enough dried grasses, leaves, bits of bark, and twigs to make a dray, a leaf nest. It was the sloppiest dray ever, but it would have to do. Exhausted, they crawled inside. As Tsts lay down under her fluff of tail, the miles they had traveled reeled through her mind. It was possible, she realized, for Jed to have traveled just as many, in any direction at all. But she was too tired to think about that. She would think about it tomorrow. Chai had thought about it a long time ago. He had thought about it first thing, but his enthusiasm was contagious. He had let himself grow hopeful. Now, though, it was time to be realistic, to face the facts. In the morning, he would persuade to turn back. A shame, but there it was. In truth, it would be more of a shame than he realized, because if it had occurred to Chai to shout just then, into the quiet night, if he had found the energy to do it, Jed would have heard him. Faintly, but he would have heard. That's how close they all were. But no one shouted, so no one heard, and no one knew.